I want to talk today about the great reward of patience and perseverance. Patience and perseverance, that's exactly what you came to hear right today, right? And even by me saying that, that kind of reveals something. We don't like to talk about these sort of subjects, yet it's a part of our life. It's also a very pleasant part of our life, if you understand how this whole system works and how God does it. I don't claim to understand everything, because... So let's just put it this way. I was raised with a father, he was a great dad. But if I heard it once, I heard it 50 times. He would say, "Mike, do something, even if it's wrong." So I can't remember it in my ears, right? He was not the most patient person I ever met, right? But he was, in his own way, actually, over the years, got more and more patient. But I picked up the genetic code. So I have not been a very patient person through the years. But when you say patience, that's one thing. But what we're really talking about is perseverance as well. That's another word that helps us understand, because much of our walk with the Lord is about perseverance and patience. There's the King of the universe who's making these offers to us. We take him up on his offers. And as we walk with him, we have to learn in our spirit to stay patient, to stay tenacious in our patience. I don't mean passive. I mean tenacious in our patience. It seems like those are two different words, tenacious and patience, but they're not. After the Lord, persevering in the Lord is the way you receive things from the Lord. It's the way you break through into prosperity into your life. I wish it was different. I just wish I could just say one little key prayer and then everything just comes down. But actually, and even in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, he taught us to be consistent, persistent, because in the overlay of our life, there's two powers that are warring over our soul. One is God, and the other one is the enemy of our soul, that's Satan. And in between, we're there, right? So part of perseverance is continually choosing God, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. And when we don't, that's when we really get in trouble. We make some bad decisions, and we do things that don't bear fruit, right? God's always looking after us with compassion, but sometimes it just feels like he's nowhere to be found. He's always to be found. It's just that he doesn't always respond in the way we think, and he always takes us on these journeys. We could call them patience journeys and persistence journeys. It's not just patience for patience's sake. It's just the way he works. So if you learn the system and the way God works with regard to perseverance will become one of your favorite words, because you know that in the process of going through things, you're going to be learning a few things along the way. You're going to pick up more in your trouble, not less. We think more in our trouble is it's over. Well, I'm not the most patient person. I've learned over time. God's discipled me that way. I've learned, but over time, I've struggled with that. You know, I'm praying, okay, God, you say to pray, and I see all these promises, and then I don't understand why this isn't showing up as fast. And I realized that, just as I'll mention, like fishing or something else like that, it takes time before you get the result. But the funny thing is, along the way in the journey, you learn all kinds of things, and you get closer to God, and you become more like Jesus, right? So God's not worried about anything. He's not slow, even as the scripture says, as some count slowness. So patience, if you look on your outline there, famous church father said, patience is the very nature of God. That's what he learned, right? To be patient is to be like God. There's this word, makrothymia, which is the Greek word. And it's patience is used to describe God himself. Indeed, only the Lord produces makrothymia, patience. Another synonyms are perseverance, long-suffering. Only the Lord produces this in us. And so it's a fruit of the Spirit. If we look at Galatians 5:22, we see all these things that come from our walk with the Lord. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance. And that word forbearance is that word patience. It's the same thing, or perseverance. So part of your walk with the Lord is that you're going to be more persevering, meaning you'll not only be quieter on the inside, but you'll be a fighter. You will not give up easily. One thing I've looked through the years and in my own life, and I've realized, and this is a great secret if you ever learn it. Listen, just keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on it, because God will break through for you. You get through a number of these times, and you learn that lesson, you're going to do well in this life. You do well in this life. Now, we've even got stories on our own culture of people that worked hard, persevered, and got through the other side. It's kind of in our culture, but I want to suggest to you the interesting thing about that in our culture is that actually it comes straight from God. It comes because we are a Christian culture. It's just that if you do it with God, it really works, right? Raw persistence will get you to a certain place, but when you're persisting and working your problems out with God, it's one of the greatest secrets you'll ever learn. And once you get it under your belt a little bit, it will be very hard to defeat you in any way, and actually you will live a supernatural lifestyle. So it says here, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law, right? So when we're in this place, he means then this is the heart of the kingdom. These things he's talking about in forbearance or long-suffering or patience is one of those things. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's something that grows out of our walk with the Lord. And the sooner it grows, the happier you're going to be, the more confident you're going to be, and the more miracles you're going to see. Which everybody wants to see miracles, right? But they don't understand what it takes sometimes to grow a miracle. Sometimes they appear right away. Sometimes they come over time. And the ones that come over time are some of the best ones, because some of those things that come over time really shake the mountains. They really move things. They really move the furniture around, right? Because the Spirit brings forth patience, it's pleasant, not unlike the feel of the other fruit of the Spirit. So we have, for example, love, joy, peace. Those are great. They feel good, right? But I've learned that actually patience actually feels good if you're doing it with the Lord. When you learn patience, you're calmer. And I'm not saying that I've learned it. I am born one of the most impatient people you'll ever meet. You heard how I was raised and everything. And, to do something even if it's wrong, you know, and all kinds of things. When I think of this, I think of my childhood, think of the way I behaved through the years, right? And just so I learned this the hard way, but then once I began to learn it, I became much better at this whole thing of patience and waiting on the Lord and letting the Lord bring forth things in my life. What does it feel like? Well, here's the interesting thing about it. You think patience feels like grit and but actually the truth of the matter is it feels like love poured onto our hearts through the Holy Spirit, because in patience is also this unusual confidence. I want to read this from Romans chapter 5. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Oh, man, glory in our sufferings. How can a person even write that with a straight face, right? Why? Because he's experiencing something in the tank that transcends our problems, transcends our personalities, transcends the world, right? He learned it, but also we glory in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. There it is again. It produces patience. It produces perseverance. They're all the same kind of thing, right? The whole same kind of idea. Perseverance then leads to character, character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So you see, in this perseverance, we see this. What happens is you persevere through things, you develop character. It means confidence in the Lord. You become like Jesus. And then that brings hope. So nothing that comes to you or against you will ruin you. You've got hope in you. It's greeted with, hey, I've got Jesus with me. Hey, there's nothing I can't handle in this life. And I might have to wait a little bit, but eventually this is going to come out right. I'm going to find, even if I die, it comes out right. I've got confidence. I live with Jesus forever and ever. See, the kingdom is all about confidence and hope. It's not about pain and sorrow. There's pain and sorrow that we persevere through, but as we go through the years, our character changes. The very fabric of the way we look at life changes. This is where I'm at right now. I'm after that. The way I look at life, look at problems, look at situations. So I'm always experiencing hope, but also bringing hope to other people. And it doesn't put us to shame to hope, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts, and that's the fourth quality. You begin to get the hang of this, and you begin to realize that in my situations, I can find God's love. In other words, I'm loved. I can feel the presence of the Lord in this situation. I can feel love in the context, right? And once you begin to feel love in your problems, once you begin to be connected, that's the hardest thing about a difficult problem. You feel disconnected. But if you learn perseverance, you learn that it's just a matter of time, and you learn love. You learn to find love. So at the end of every problem, and now I do it more, I should do it more to the end when it's done, right? But now I'm learning how to do it in the beginning, in the middle, that if I'm in the midst of a trouble and a thing, a problem, I'm learning to find love in it, find God's love in it, because he's right there with me. The fear, the worry, the pain, even anger, they don't help me internally, right? And they don't also help me to think clearly. Because I know that when I'm experiencing this love of God, I'm in that space with God, then I get creative with my problems. See, perseverance isn't just about gritting it out to the end. Perseverance is about finding the answer to the problem you're looking for. These other emotions get in the way. Shame and the other things that go with the pain of, having a problem. But this love poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which follows, right? It's in that context. We glory in our sufferings. We're going, I'm going to be all right. This is painful now, but you know what? I've been through things before. I'm going to be all right. So that statement right there then sets the stage for you then to begin to get the answer. When you're calm and you're with God and you can feel his presence, feel his love, then you can also find his love. He doesn't just pour his heart out to calm you. This is an interesting passage. For the Father loves the Son, Jesus said, and shows him what he's doing. So not only do you feel comforted, but also the Lord shows you what to do in the middle of your issue problem. So this perseverance thing is a real thing because of what it leads to. When you freak out, when you don't have any consistency, or you can't hold, especially when a problem comes initially, and just sort of step back from it, and then work your way through it. See, it's a lot like fishing. I'll mention that a little bit later, but it's a lot like waiting and persevering, and then also being a part of the answer, right? That's why on B2 there, it has anticipation, so it mingles hope and faith. So think about patience. It all depends on what context you're in, right? So surfers, they're amazing. They'll stay all day, all night. Can you imagine how much energy they'll put into just in the hope of that one great wave in a day, right? Talk about perseverance, man. I watch them out there. I think they're nuts, frankly. Usually, I think because, I never really spent a lot of time out there. But if I did, I'd get the hang of it and I'd probably be out there every day, right? Because there's something about the whole process. You spend more time not getting the wave than getting the wave, right? But when that one comes, oh man, that's all you remember. 99% of it was nothing. And that one wave that you caught, that's what you remember. So this is the way this works in our problems, right? It was worth it being out there. Or the fisherman. Now, on the other side of my family, I had the most patient grandfather, most patient man that ever lived on the face of the earth. And he was so patient, he did things we should never have done together, right? Like, I'm 13 years old and driving his car around Lancaster, California. Woo! And then I get stopped by a policeman. And he asks me, how old are you, son? And I say, 13. Grandpa's just sort of crumbling in the seat. Then he gets chewed out when I get home. Back to my grandma. She chews him and my mother. He was always doing stuff like that, man. And he was a perfect fisherman. He loved to fish. And he could just sit out there for hours. But everything he did had this patience in it. He was the most patient man I ever met. The other side of the family wasn't so much like that. But he had it. I recognize that now. And it was fun to be around him because he was so patient. Because as soon as I turned 16, man, I was on the 6 or 7 lane freeways going up and down California, with him, man. And in Albuquerque, where I was raised, you were lucky if you had 2 lanes on a freeway, right? But now we're in this throng of traffic, and my mom's freaking out because my grandpa's taking me on these freeways. And he was not afraid for me to do anything. And he used to do the same thing with my mother. That's why he did the same thing with her. She would do things at 12 and 13 years old you couldn't imagine during World War II and during other times. And man, oh man, my grandfather had this patience about him. So I learned this patience, this perseverance, this sort of, I can see now back the way he was. And it was really a real fruit of the Spirit. And in the Lord, what are we fishing for? What are we trying to serve? We're looking for great answers to problems. we're fishing for things in our life, careers and families and households. And the thing is, with that perseverance, there comes a companionship. God doesn't leave us alone. That's why I'm talking about it. It feels like love. In other words, we could grit and pain and kind of get through it, but if you look just a little deeper, you'll find God there working with you in the problem and actually maybe even allowing it so he can get to know you better, right? It's amazing how problems help us to get to know God better. And when the breakthrough comes, how we love him even more. So if you learn to work with God in your problems, it works a little better than just always fighting back and always being upset and the whole thing, right? And so that's why there's a great reward for both patience and perseverance, because God's on the other side of it. So number two there on your outline, patience brings forth success and breakthrough from God. God's patience brings actually forth the salvation of our souls. And as you get a little bit older in the Lord, you realize, man, God's patient. When you think about all the bonehead things you did and all the ways that you ran away from God and all the things you said, you know, with your mouth and didn't fulfill, and all the promises you thought you were going to keep and you didn't, and all the sin that you did that you said you would never do or promise not to do, and you get baptized, you feel like you're pure. And you know, I remember going home to my mom and saying, I don't think I'm going to ever sin again after I got baptized, only to find the next day I'm at it again, right? You know, so... But God's patience, he's patience with us through this thing, and you learn something about him, right? Listen to this. 2 Peter 3:8-9. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Whoa! That's the one you're worshiping. He's not worried about nothing. And he's actually very good with you. He's not worried about you. He's got you. You gave your heart to him, you're his, and he's working with you, right? But wow, this is the one that like to a day is like 1,000 years? Whoa. So if you're going to walk with that one, you're going to have to learn a little bit about patience. The Lord's not slow, it says here, in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. See, that's when you first walk with the Lord, you feel like things are too slow. Maybe when you're in pain, things feel really slow, right? But instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So what he's talking about is how he was patient with us in our coming to Christ. And many of us know that it took more than one jump at the bar for us to walk with God. Many of us, you know, did really dumb things. We committed our life to Christ, crying at the altar. The next day we're doing this and that, and we're just like we were before. But over time, God had his hook in us, and he keeps pulling us in, pulling us in, pulling us in. So he still does that. Even when we make bonehead mistakes with our businesses or with our children, he works with us. It's just that you got to know that God's patient with you. And then when you find out how patient he's been with you and you realize how much he saved you from, you become more patient and you begin to do the same thing and you become like Jesus with other people. I don't know how many of you ever had a mentor in the Lord, someone that was a sort of father or mother in the Lord, how patient they were with you when you came to the Lord and all the stuff that you were doing, all the emotions you were feeling and stuff. There's nothing like another person with skin on to be that kind of person with you. It's a key part of discipling. Sometimes our view of discipling another person is that we crack the whip and make them do and jump through these hoops and get through, you know, but really the mark of discipling a person is you modeling Jesus and helping them through as they fail, they make mistakes, and getting them back up, you know. And not quick to disqualify, but you act like Jesus. You have the same patience that Jesus has, and you bring a person along. That's how we really become fishers of men. I mean, think about it, fishers of men. But fishing's not like, wow, I just go out there and throw my like nine in there, and then bump, out comes, and it just jumps in the boat, and then I have a fish, right? It doesn't work like that, right? So when we become fishers of men, it takes patience. And some of the greatest fisher people I know, men and women, have this quality about them with new people. They're just coming to know the Lord. They're just patient with them. They help them. And you know, even with regard to our marriages, our families, this is a critical thing of being married. I think patience is one of the main things you need, is learning to be patient with the other person. And that's the greatest, glorious thing about marriage, is that actually one of the greatest things you learn in marriage is you learn patience. You learn to get along with another person. You learn about their values. You learn about their ways. You you understand the two become one, but the two become one, you know, and I just think about, you know, standing there at the altar, and the two shall become one, you know. And now when I'm saying that over couples, I'm going, oh my gosh, two, yep, they're going to become one, all right, but it's going to be a journey, man. And you know, I'm fighting the music, going, and they're all singing wonderful songs about the two becoming one. And right inserted in the middle of all that is incredible patience that you learn and you grow up. But that patience is meant to grow you up into Jesus. Some of you are in the place that you're in right now because you're not patient. You join the church and you expect, wow, boom, man, here I am. You know, God, use me, God. You know, here I am. Don't you know how great I am? No, we don't. But why don't you just hang out with us a little bit so we can get to know you? You can get to know us so that when we do something together, it's relational. Push button, boom, you know, I'm a musician, you know, or I'm a this, I'm a that. I'm the best thing that ever came by you. Well, you don't have no idea what kind of ministry I have, right? Well, we'd like to discover that, but we'd like to get to know you first a little bit. And maybe we have something to add to you and you have something to add to us. But if you're not patient, it just ruins the relationship. That's one reason why a lot of marriages don't work. It's because there's no patience on either side. And I'm talking about, by patience, I'm not just talking about a little dose of it. I'm talking about super duper doses of it. Perseverance, patience. That's how marriages work. That's how relationships work in church. Spring, boom, bomb. No, it's always time. Time. And then we kind of learn who you are. We learn each other. And we learn to draw out the best in each other. And learn to receive and so on and so forth. In other words, we're relational. And so this patience and perseverance, though we don't like those words so much, or it's hard sometimes, especially when we've been wounded or we're in a hurry or, you know, we're in between things and we just want this thing over with as fast as possible. But our patience brings forth supernatural strength and an amazing provision because our hope is sure. In other words, really because we don't give up. Now let me read some passages from Psalm 37. They're just really great words. Do not fret because of those who are evil. Guys, there's a lot of fretting going on. A lot of fretting going on. Watching a presidential debate, that'll do you in. Right? Especially when you hear the commentary afterward of, you know, all the stuff, you know. And but fretting is not going to help us. It doesn't help us think clearly. Right? Any manager or ruler knows this is not a good space to be in. The days are evil. There are evil people, and they will cause you to go up the wall sometimes, but don't fret because it's not going to give you the right answers to evil, right? We want to be the answer. We don't want to be part of the problem or be envious of those who do wrong, even envy people that seem to succeed and they're evil and they don't do anything to deserve what they get, you know, and as a matter of fact, they do all the wrong things. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. That's a good word for now. Evil. Public evil, private evil, whatever it is. With people that do it, they soon wither away. They don't last. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of his heart. So I want to just say this about patience and perseverance. As you learn patience more and more, this is the part I really like. There's a delight. There's a confidence. There's sort of a space where I smile more, I look at the future better, and frankly, I'm just happier. And I just think that's a great place to be. That should be some place where the Lord, we want to go, because actually, whether you like it or not, you're going there. You're all going there. All of us are going there, delighting in the Lord and giving the desires of our heart. But this delight in the Lord takes a little bit because sometimes God doesn't look like he's that fair. Sometimes it doesn't look so great, my situation, right? I don't want to delight in the Lord. I'm just mad, right? And sometimes in our situations, if we really get down to it, one of the reasons why we're having so much trouble is we not only have the problem, but we're angry at God for letting it be the way it is. And so we push and cajole and we manipulate and we try to get our way and with other people and we become pushy and stuff and we don't let the normal relational things happen with them and we become very, very slow on our relationships. Because we're bugged, because we're bothered, we're irritated, right? Take delight in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. What a word. So you mean I just got to trust God that even in the bad spaces, even the negative spaces, that I'm going to be okay, that I'm okay. I can delight in the Lord even and he'll give me the desires of my heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him and he will do this. But it takes patience to bring forth a request sometimes. And you'll never skip that step. And some fishing missions that we have, you throw the line in the water, boom, out comes a fish. Other times you might go days. Other days, some days you go out to surf and waves are great and you're hitting every one of them. Some days nothing's going on. You'll make your righteousness, your righteous reward, shine like the dawn. In other words, it's worth it. Your vindication, like the noonday sun. Why would you need to be vindicated? Because you waited and waited, and it didn't seem like it was coming enough. Ultimately, he vindicated you. He vindicated your faith. He vindicated your trust. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Why should we not fret? Because when we fret, we stop hearing God's voice. When we fret, we determine that God's really not the king of the universe, not the Lord of our life. When we fret, we're declaring, you know, God's not in this with me. God's deserted me. God's not helping me, right? Especially when people succeed in their ways that shouldn't, or when wicked people are carrying out their schemes. Because, see, fretting has fear in it, has anger in it. Be still and wait patiently. That's different. That's why in this season and time we're in, even with politics and all of it, we need to make sure that we don't fret. We pray more than we fret, and where we can be positive and make a positive contribution, we do, right? It's all a part of this hope that is very, very powerful. Even that word hope, sometimes you don't like the word hope because it doesn't sound like faith, and we like the faith part better. But they're tied into each other. Faith and hope go together, right? Hope's what starts your faith. And faith is the part where you keep exerting until the thing becomes yours, right? Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. This is a very good word for where we're at right now in history. It only leads to evil. So make sure that you're careful about your fretting. It isn't going to lead to a good place, right? I don't mean that you can't have honest dialogue about the problems and hash them out, or your own problems, right? But there's a difference between doing that and fretting. And I think all of us realize when we're fretting, for one thing, it just doesn't feel very good. Matter of fact, it makes us negative or always mad all the time. You know, it's interesting in this time because this is a very frustrating time. We've got really crazy stuff going on. And when the world looks at us and we're always fretting or always angry, they don't see any answers, right? They just see themselves who are doing the very same thing, right? The blameless spend their days under the Lord's care, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. You know, when that COVID thing happened, I felt like for many parts of the body of Christ did a great job. Other parts not so great. But we didn't wither, many of us. It was a great time of pain, but a lot of us held. And what the thing was, but it wasn't so much do I go to church or I don't? Do I have outside services or inside service, whatever? The thing about withering is that you just don't hear from the Lord about what you're supposed to do. So all through that COVID, it was a great trial for us, but a great learning experience because I found myself seeing what this guy was doing, this person was doing, you know, and there was really the opposite of the stream. You know, put the mask on, don't go anywhere, forget the mask, go everywhere. But for me, it was like I just needed my freedom. That's what I needed. I had the freedom to choose this, and so I just chose. I just walked the middle road, and sometimes we ended up more on one side in some people's view than the other side, and we're more aggressive. And thank God for our little tent. That was amazing. I told you, I think, a couple sermons ago that I actually ran into the guy I bought it from, never had met him. One day I'm praying for a tent out there so we could have some services and also do better with our homeless stuff, and I'm praying about that one day, and in the morning, one of my friends calls me up in the afternoon. He says, "I think I found the tent," and I couldn't believe it. And within one day, I had the tent. It was like $30,000, but it was worth it. And so we put that tent. Poor thing, it's still hanging in there, right? But that tent was a middle ground. We didn't wither, right? We enjoyed plenty during the time of COVID. We really did. We kept a lot of things in place. We learned some new things, and so we're doing some of those things today online. So we learned some of those things through Zoom and other things. So that was good. But we enjoyed plenty. And I think we played it right where we should. Some days to other people we have met may have seemed extreme, and to other people not enough. But when you're patient, you can ride that line. You're comfortable to drive through the extremes, you know, and sometimes the extreme are the middle. For some people, it all depends on the way you look at it. But you want to get the view of the Lord. What the Lord looks at is extreme, sometimes not extreme. What we look at as extreme sometimes in the Lord's eyes isn't extreme, right? So you got to get his opinion. So that's the main thing, right? That's the great reward of patience and perseverance. If you're patient, you'll wait long enough to get the Lord's opinion and get the real thing, right? Get the real understanding of how you should act in this time and actually the real wisdom about what's really going on. Sometimes problems are so crazy that we react too quickly. When we're patient, we actually mind it out. We actually get the answer. And it may take a little longer because we don't like to wait like that. But they that will wait on the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. Scripture says they will mount up with wings as eagles. There's something about this that gives us strength, not weakness. Look at Proverbs 37:23. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. Wow. I tell you, there's been times when begging bread and these sort of things, it felt like real realities. For you maybe in your individual life and also maybe in the culture as a whole, right? But he was just talking about ultimately, you know, there may be some rough spots and stuff, but ultimately we end up in the right place. And patience and perseverance is at the heart of it. I can't tell you how many people I've watched through the years. I just, you know, as pastor, as long as I have, you just sort of become a people watcher. So somebody should, like, just because of that, if you've pastored a long time, many, many years like I have, you become like sort of a fountain of wisdom because you've seen so many things, like, you know, and you've seen so many life experiences and stuff, sort of like a counselor maybe with, who's been doing it a while. You see so many things that you learn a thing or two, not only from your own mistakes, but also from the multiple mistakes of other people. You make up your mind, I ain't going there. Man, I've seen that one happen before, you know. And sometimes you have to be careful because you feel like you're being a little like know-it-all. So you can't tell people, because especially when they're bent on doing something. And that's another thing you learn, how to have patience with a person that's going 180 degrees opposite of where they should go. Because if you're not patient with them, guess what happens? They want to do it even more. It's amazing how people are put together, right? So you get a little wily, and you know, and you ask questions like, well, why do you think that's a good idea? And instead of, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. That was my counseling in the beginning, right? That was how wise I was, right? And I probably said that for the first 10 years of my ministry. That's the dumbest thing. Why are you doing that stupid thing? Stop that. Stop it. Just stop it. You know, like that. That was my wisdom. But when it didn't work for the 30th time, I figured out, there must be a different way to do this. And you'd be a little jailer and kind of work with people a little bit. And then I remembered, well, that's how God's been working with you, ding dong. Why are you doing that with these people, right? So you learn a little bit, right? And I'm still learning. And that's what patience does, because you're always learning, right? Because there's reward in it. And the Lord, and just the time you think you learned it all, guess what? You learn something else, right? So this, I'm convinced that the life is just one big long school. And the more you settle down and do your lessons and are patient, the more you're going to learn and the faster, the better you're going to be at it. Look at this verse in 37 again. Chapter 37 is excellent. Hope in the Lord, keep his way. In other words, you just keep walking with God no matter what. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are destroyed, you will see it. So no matter what other people are doing, you keep following the Lord. You don't stop, right? Because if you do it long enough, you'll see that the people that are doing the wrong things will be destroyed in the end. So that's why it's kind of hard. We're older. We should be learning this better. We should have learned this better than when we're younger, you know, because we don't have as much life experience. We haven't seen as many people get destroyed with their impatience. I have seen a wicked and ruthless man flourishing like a luxuriant native tree. But wait just a little bit for it, and you're going to see this soon in our culture. Wait. The people that are making the most noise and the most wicked right now, watch. But he soon passed away and was no more. Though I looked for him, he could not be found. Consider the blameless. Observe the upright. A future awaits those who seek peace. But all sinners will be destroyed. There will be no future for the wicked. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. But sometimes taking refuge in the Lord isn't an immediate thing. It might take a while. You may have to stay in the place of refuge for a while until you get to the other side. And sometimes till you see what the right path is, till you get the wisdom and the Lord lights it up what you're supposed to do. Right? So life is a lot like that. And there's a great reward to walking this way. Isaiah 40, verses 27 to 31. Just another passage. It's so incredibly meaningful. Listen to this. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Anybody ever said that? I'll tell you, I've heard people say that to me a million times. And, you know, if they're saying it to me, they're saying it to God, too. You know, God's just disregarding me. He doesn't see me anymore. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength, as a matter of fact, while you're in that place, to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. That's the key here. When your hope's strong, when you're persevering and patient, that hope will keep you strong. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Why is that? Because they will actually get the answers they need. And also, they're there in fellowship with the Lord close, and he makes them happy. He meets that deep inner need that they thought they needed from that thing being answered right away. He's their portion. And so they fly. They do well, even in difficult situations. Fear is the opposite of patience and robs us of God's wisdom and voice in difficult circumstances. This is one of the most important things. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So turns out that I want those words because they're always wise and things always turn out if I understand what the Lord's will is and I do it, right? Always. So one of the key things is sometimes problems get so murky and so troubling that you can't see. You don't know what you're supposed to do. You don't know, right? So what we have to do is learn to wait long enough, persevere long enough in the Lord before we jump off in anything, just to get a sense. And then if we get the sense, we may just get one step at a time, not all of it worked out. We want a computer program just all worked out, but we might just get the first word, the first sentence. And often for me, it's hearing God's voice. Sometimes he only gives me a part of it, but I just do that part. I don't get the whole picture. That's part of perseverance and patience. You learn to let the word unfold like a flower, so to speak. It begins and just let it come and flower, right, as opposed to jumping too quickly. And sometimes the answers to our problems come very quickly. Situations come very quickly, so we got to be okay with that. When you see the answer, you know, sometimes it unfolds remarkably fast. Like one of those flowers, and you know, when they see it in the, you ever seen one of those pictures of a flower bud, you know, beginning to open and blossom, and they got the fast speed going with the camera, you know. But most flowers open kind of slowly, but it's kind of cool to watch them open up like that, right? But so the thing is, though, when fear gets in there, it robs the whole process. It robs us of wisdom and God's voice in difficult circumstances. So when there's a lot of fear on the inside of you, this is where you got to be very, very careful about patience and perseverance. When I get in a great deal of fear, and sometimes it masquerades as righteousness, this fear. Sometimes I watch people behave in our current political environment, and they're just terrified. They're not brave. They're just terrified. They're afraid of their own shadow. They're intensely worried about their life, right? And they're projecting that as courage. And sometimes there is courage there when they're saying something. But I tell you, it's so important that we get this one right, because fear is the opposite of patience, and it robs us of God's wisdom and his voice. You want to hear God's voice. That's why the Bible even says, don't be afraid of sudden fear. But look at this. So Israel got into a situation, and God's speaking to them as a nation. He says, woe to the obstinate children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance, but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin, who go down to Egypt without consulting me. In other words, this great enemy comes and, you know, their plan is to run away and go to Egypt. Who look for help to Pharaoh's protection, to Egypt's shade for refuge. But Pharaoh's protection will be to your shame. Egypt's shade will bring you disgrace. Sometimes what looks like the answer isn't the answer at all. It dissuades our fears, but it isn't the answer, right? You're actually joining the enemy. You're actually joining the enemy's camp. Fear will make you do that, all in the name of the Lord. Isn't that weird? All in the name of the Lord. Fear will do that. You'll actually join the enemy's camp. That was some of the days that we've been living in. I've been having to really be careful with that. You know, where I go with my heart, my emotions, my fears, because sometimes they'll take me into straight which looks like a great answer to a problem, but it's not an answer at all. It's just fear masquerading as an answer. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says: in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it. You said, no, we will flee on horses, therefore you will flee. There was a lot of that going on in the pandemic. No, we're going to do this. No, we're going to do that. Right? You said, we'll ride off on swift horses. Therefore, your pursuers will be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one. At the threat of 5, you will all flee away. To your left, like a flagstaff on a mountaintop, like a banner on a hill. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up and show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. People of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see. Whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. I love that voice so much. And I find I hear that voice when I manage fear, when I don't let it overcome me. When I get a hold of fear, I can hear that voice more clearly, right? Some people come to me, and I'm learning to get better at it with other people. Been trying to work with it in my own soul. You know, I get this brilliant answer to a problem, and one of the biggest checkpoints I have to have is this because you're so afraid, or is this the real answer to this problem? Is this because you're terrified, or this really, you know, and we're all different. So some things push other people, you know, buttons that don't push other people's buttons. You ever notice that? Some things that might press over here, and this will just drive this person crazy and want to run for the hills. Another thing, what's the matter with them? That's stupid. But then you get another part of a person's life, and it starts happening over here with them. This person's saying, what's the matter with them? What's the matter with them? Why are they so afraid, right? It all depends on where you're at, right? It all depends on your background. So it's funny how fear works, but when you have this sudden fear, it's really important to be careful where you go from there. And that passage is great because they thought, well, you know, the answer is going back to Egypt where they came from. That'll be okay then if I go do that, right? But, you know, there's a lot of people making decisions about going back to this or going to that place or whatever, thinking that that's going to be the solution. It may be. Just make sure it's done in the right spirit and done, you know, with a reasonable counsel. I feel sorry for some Californians because they've never lived in another area of the world, right? They've lived in there their whole life. And so they're going, wee, wee, all over, you know. And I'm watching my watch, and I'm going, hmm. So one problem is going to be is for some of them leaving that the economics of regions are at first really great because, you know, there's a lot of difference between our area and the other. But then you sort of get trapped and you can't come back. And then you figure out, this wasn't as great as I thought. It kind of took care of a need. That's not going to be the case for some because some are supposed to move. There's a great time of movement, some of which I think is really good and really supposed to happen. But I've seen a lot of fearful decisions. When I get down to it, I'm asking them about what they're doing. I'm looking at it, and they're actually like, okay, there's a difference between having a little unease and taking a step of faith and being terrorized. But there are people that are actually terrified, and they say weird things. Now, I know enough. I've lived in other parts of the world, other parts of the country even. I was raised in other parts of the country. And I know that what they're saying, what they're thinking about, like is about that place, I'm going, I've been there. And they're treating it like, well, this is the most beautiful place in the whole world. And I'm living there, I'm thinking, I don't say it. Sometimes, you're nuts. Have you ever spent any amount of time there that you're going to have to deal? Because every place, you have to deal with something, right? Every place has its stuff, right? So I'm just saying this. Whatever you do, make sure that you learn how to handle fear, especially in these days, right? And God will help you. He wants you to be brave. That doesn't mean that you don't have the absence of apprehension. It just means that you learn to manage that emotion in your life and to think clearly and to pray clearly and to listen clearly, right? No, we're going to flee on horses. We're going to Pharaoh. He was so nice to us. Remember Pharaoh, how nice he was? We were slaves. We had it all taken care of. At least there was someone to protect us. No. It was great being a slave compared to this, being annihilated. Let's go down there, right? So we're looking at it from this side. But you got your own stuff, your own pharaohs, right? All of us do. That's why it's so important to talk about these things. Consider it pure joy, my brothers. This is James 1, 2. Whenever you face trials of any kinds, James 1, verse 2, James 1, verse 3, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Oh my God, are you serious? God allows some of this stuff to happen so I'll learn how to persevere? Yes. Why? Because there's bigger things ahead. He wants you to grow up so that you become an answer to the world and not a perennial question. Become an answer to the world and provider instead of always having to be provided for. The last thing we want to do is be provided for, but you have to learn how to handle your trials because it produces perseverance. And perseverance finishes its work so she may be mature and complete, not lack anything. So where your trial should take you is to persevere through, learn some stuff through it, so that the next time comes, I'm more ready. I'm complete. It's not going to intimidate me. It's not going to freak me out. I'm going to prosper. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and will be given to you. Now, this is the thing. Sometimes you just need to be tenacious with wisdom. Here's a problem with God. Sometimes he doesn't answer on the first ring. God, call him up. You know, God, I need to answer this question. Sometimes he doesn't answer the phone till the 10th ring, the 12th ring. Sometimes he doesn't answer at all. You have to call him the next day. You ever notice that? We hate that. We hate that. We start dragging out every promise of why he should have answered the first time. Or then we start making up answers. And pretty soon we become deluded. We start become a legend in our own mind. But this wisdom thing, once you go through it a couple of times, you go, I'm going to wait. And sometimes it's a balancing between other people, what they think. I go there, I go to the Bible. I remember my history with God, you know. So when you ask God for wisdom and you keep doing it, you learn over time what feels like wisdom and what doesn't feel like wisdom. So during this pandemic, I've been through this enough that I actually felt like that our training before gave us wisdom for that situation. What we'd been through before, what I'd been through before, you know, I felt like, And so I didn't panic about anything. I just took the next step. Okay, maybe we should go outside for a while. Okay, we'll go outside for a while. Maybe we'll cancel that event. We didn't cancel many, but I did cancel the women's Christmas dinner, if I remember. They'd never have forgiven me for that. But anyway. But didn't cancel much else. We kind of outside, and then we're inside a little bit, outside, you know. And one thing I felt firmly from the Lord, do not shut the warehouse down. So I didn't. I shut it down for a day, not one time. Man, it was piling up all over the place. We had so much stuff going on. It was actually the birth of really the warehouse is today. All those people found us during the pandemic, and it launched it because we didn't shut down. We actually grew and grew and grew, and people knew, learned who we were, and we got to meet people. It was amazing, right? If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and I'll be given to you. When you're asking for wisdom enough, asking and looking and waiting, it's such a good thing for you. Because asking, looking, being patient that you're going to get wisdom is part of wisdom. And once you go through the cycle a little bit, you learn what it feels like a little bit, right? You learn to challenge yourself. Like, you're just terrified over this situation. Sometimes I tell myself that. You're not being smart. You're just terrified. What are you so afraidy cat about? Other times I realize I have fear, but it's the right kind of fear. I'm being warned. No, don't do that. You probably better not do that, you know, that kind of thing. So all of this is part of this great reward of patience and perseverance. When you go through the cycle enough, you're able to do this enough, and you pay attention to your life enough, you become smarter and actually become less afraid. But then that was one thing, I keep alluding to the pandemic, because it was one great time of fear, and I determined one thing in my heart with regard to the decisions we were making in the church. If we did it, I wanted to make sure it was wise, and I didn't want to do it out of panic or fear or terror, right? Whatever we did, just make it right. It seemed frugal, seemed the right thing to do, right? But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. So perseverance is like that. You have to learn how to evaluate and how to hold things in tension. Not get, be blown about. Not make quick decisions. Just hold the thing in tension and then keep trusting and keep persevering and keep being patient till the Lord reveals clearly, or at least semi-clearly, what you're supposed to do. So that person who doesn't wait, right, doesn't believe, that person should not expect to receive anything from God. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So this is a critical thing, this patience and perseverance, because it helps you to hear God's voice, right? You don't become presumptuous. You don't react too quickly. You've learned your lessons, and you learn in each situation what patience looks like. We minister patiently, watching for God's movement. We receive ministry patiently, looking for positive change. So there's a couple of passages in the scripture that to me are critical for this. And again, it's all along this same subject. Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Now, the interesting thing about the tenses in those verbs is if you were translated literally, you would translate it like this. Keep on asking and it'll be given to you. Keep on seeking and you'll find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives. In other words, patience, persevering. The one who keeps seeking finds, and the one who keeps knocking, the door will be open. And I found that to be very true. When I learned that God doesn't answer with my first knock, it was revolutionary for me. Knocking, knocking, knocking has become such a very great thing. I just persevere. I keep knocking, keep asking, keep seeking. I don't give up, right? Once you go through that a little bit, you become tenacious. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And that's another thing about asking. It's another thing about patience and perseverance. You won't be patient, you won't persevere, unless you believe God is a good God. God's a good God. God has my back, right? Sometimes I look at people and they jump from the frying pan to the fire. They jump so quickly, you know, and they call it faith, and it's nothing, not faith, it's fear. They're just terrified. They got to do something. They're terrified, right? Instead of letting the plan of God keep asking, keep knocking, keep on seeking, that just seems too weak, seems too hard. If you remain in me and my words will remain in you, this is John 15:7-8, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now, the remaining part is the thing we've missed. There's an abiding with the Lord. What that means is, when you stay with the Lord and you're asking about things, you don't immediately sometimes get the answer. Sometimes you get it right away. Sometimes you don't. But ask whatever you wish will be done for them. He's talking about this remaining, this tenacity, this keep on asking, keep on knocking, this riding the horse. It's this patience that we're talking about, this perseverance, right? If God's word remains in you, in other words, you have something and you feel like you've been given something and you're persevering over it, you're watching after it, you're sitting out like a mother hen with eggs. Eventually the answer comes. And this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, the whole process of this patient perseverance, what it does to you is it makes you a follower, not a leader. You're not leading God along, you're following God. And he's actually a great provider, and he helps you in so many, many ways. So our greatest goal is that we hear God's voice, right? And this hearing God's voice is the great reward of patience and perseverance. So you could hear it then when you've been trained that way, you might hear it the very first moment you pray. Or it might take a while. Patience is the key to our ministry to each other in the world. There's a church history book called The Patient Fervent, not ferment, fervent. Sorry about that. The Patient Fervent. I think I left a couple of words out of that. Anyway, I think it's the patient fervor of the early church. I think that's what it is. By Alan Crider. Anyway, nobody's going to look that up anyway. But anyway, but here's the point part. In it, he says that the central witness of the early church was their patience. Can I say it again? I say, what was the central witness of the early church? Most of us say, signs and wonders, miracles, power. Well, that was certainly there. But look at this next line. Many have turned from the ways of violence and tyranny, overcome by observing the consistent lives of the Christian neighbors, or noting the strange patience of their injured acquaintances, or experiencing the way they did business with them. Patience, perseverance. They noticed how they held up. They noticed how they held up during times of trouble, right? And that's how many, many people came to Christ. I think that in the name of the Lord, a lot of us were getting paying a whole lot of attention to prophetic things and prophetic ministries and stuff, but I don't think all of them were healthy and all of them were right. I think there's a lot of things being said, but it was said in this wrong space. But I think probably the best thing we did during that time is if we could learn to live like this, right? Consistent lives, patience, you know? Because in a world like it has been, there's no patience because everybody's too terrified to be afraid. And they're making these great proclamations of what life should be because they're all terrified. They're fearful. They're afraid. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a different kind of voice. I want to be patient. I want to be unafraid because that's really the key word there. I don't want fear dominating my life, right? And I watch people over and over again as I counsel them and deal with them, you know. And I just want to say that without a doubt, through many years of counseling, I feel like fear is their number one issue. Fear is the number one problem in many people's lives. They're just jumping because they're afraid. They're jumping because they don't know what else to do. And so they don't want to go through the process of listening, you know, and not everything's like that. Sometimes as you get trained with this, you just know exactly what to do right away and you do it, right? And then once you do it, you don't look back. You just keep on going, right? You see, that's all a part of it as well. We're not just talking about waiting all the time. We're talking about this patience and perseverance in our lifestyle producing the ability to hear God's voice, the ability to work with God and work in His timing, right? Even if it's a little bit longer. But it's not always longer. Sometimes God wants us to do things and He's moving us extremely quickly. So we have to be patient and persevere through that because that has its own set of problems. I'm moving so fast, I don't even have, oh man, it's like you got a tailwind. It just keeps pushing you along, right? You feel uneasy, but you know it's God just pushing you along. And so you have to persevere in that too. Right? To be that lifestyle. Some people don't like to be pushed all the time or in a place where there's a great acceleration. Because in the Lord, there are times where there's great acceleration and we have to just move, right? That's a different kind of patience and perseverance. Because sometimes when you're accelerating so quickly, you feel like you're wasting time or you're wasting effort or energy or you're doing this or that, you know, and that's just going too fast. But see, the thing is, as you get trained with this patience, you learn to go fast and you learn to go slow. It's not always about waiting. Sometimes it's about moving quickly and being okay with that, right? As opposed to moving slowly and making sure that everything just fits out right. Because this is the other side of the coin. Not everything in your life is always just going to fit together in this nice little bowl and then you're just going to go, boom, we're fine. Sometimes it goes quickly. Sometimes things are moving. Sometimes they move fast, slow. But the thing is that what we want is, as we learn patience and perseverance, we learn the rhythms of God, right? And so there's two sides to this, really. The key thing is God wants to be patient with you and teach you. God wants you to learn how to trust Him with everything and the timings of everything and persevere through the hard times and the fast times, when things are moving quickly or not, right? To learn how to be okay and not freak out and run and go to Pharaoh's house or some other place of safety or whatever, right? But God's way. Good verse 5:43-45. I'm going to finish with this. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven, who causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So, it's funny. The weather just keeps on being the weather. Right? No matter what you're feeling, whatever, it rains sometimes, it's sunshiny sometimes. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Or not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Don't even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So as you look at this, He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So He's got these images, the rising sun. So the sun's like an image of unhurried faithfulness. The falling rain, an image of indiscriminate generosity. He's let it fall on everybody. Everybody enjoys the rain, right? It's benefiting. God's love reaches to the heavens and His faithfulness to the skies. That's what Psalm 36:5 thing. And one of my favorite passages in all the scripture, which will really help you to be patient and persevere, is in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. I sort of put that on my mantle of my life, right? Okay, I don't know what we're doing here, but God's working this for my good, so I'm going to slow down or speed up, whatever I have to do, but I just want to try to find that little space where I'm walking with God through this, and I'm just walking in my own strength, and I'm not freaking out over the whole thing. It's this sort of ground, then. It only comes out of this relationship with the Lord, but there's tremendous reward in living this way. Tremendous reward. Another word for patience and perseverance is faith and hope and listening to God in the context of your life. Why don't we all stand? Could I have the worship leaders come up? And I have a lot of faith today in what I said because I think that this is wisdom, and I think a number of you in this time where have been greatly fearful times and great times of change really are trying to hear God's voice in a way that maybe you never have before. And I would say, if that's what we're getting out of this time of trial and tribulation and this time of COVID and all the rest, the political unrest, if that's what we're getting, this learning to persevere, this learning to be patient and learning to see God in the midst of our situations, then I think we've learned a great lesson that'll last us for the rest of the life. So we should take this time as a time to learn, be learners, experimenters, sort of figure out. I think that great the trial that we had with the disease and all of it, I thought it was a great training wheel. Man, I tell you, I learned a whole lot then. I learned a lot about what God feels like. I learned a lot about the way God responds to us. I gained a tremendous amount of confidence because we went through that and we actually came out crazy. We came out. We rebuilt this whole campus during this time. We actually went forward, not backward. We didn't have to restart. We just built on what happened to us and kept on going, right? And that wasn't easy, but I tell you, part of it is this lesson of perseverance and patience, learning to be patient and work things out and see where you can move, right? I got this great feeling tonight, or today, for many of us today. I think today may be a great divine intersection for some of you, right? And so I'd like you to do, I just encourage you, if I could have the ministry team come up. And, you know, the thing about ministry team is that people that we have pray for each other when you come up. Is someone agreeing with you in prayer over an issue of your life. And I think some of you, maybe it would be great for you if you just come up and try to settle some things up in the front and give them fully to the Lord. Right? So, okay. I hear your prayer, but if you could quiet down a little bit, I'm still talking here. She's jumping ahead. It's good, though. So, all right? So, I think there's a divine appointment waiting us here. Right? For some of you. Or you could just do it from your seat if you like. Just pause and say, Lord, show me. What am I supposed to do here? Right? And Lord, keep fear out of me. And I pray, Lord, you'd help me be patient. And I want to just say this. Most of all, I think might come out of this service, even right now, is God's voice. You might just hear something, an impression. Someone might pray over you or prophesy something over you that's incredible. Today might be an answer, just a simple pausing before the Lord. So if you'd like to do that, come up to the front. We'll be up here and praying for people. And if you want to stay in your seat and meditate with the Lord, that's fine with me. I don't care what you do, but you want to spend a little hour and just ask the Lord to help you. Especially if you're in a trial and you're trying to figure out what to do, yes or no, going back and forth, right? And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you release a great spirit of patience and perseverance over our congregation and over our life today. In the mighty name of Jesus. A great spirit of patience and perseverance. I pray, God, that we would get answers to questions that we've been seeking for a long time. I pray, Lord, those of us that are between two opinions, we would dial down, get comforted by you, and get confident again that we're going to actually do the right thing and we're going to do it in the right timing, in Jesus' name. Lord, we just pursue you as the great answer. You're like a good dad, and you're not hiding from us, making it hard for us to find the answer. You just want us to calm down long enough to let you speak. So I pray you'd speak tonight, today, as we're just here ministering a little bit and singing. I just pray you would just speak to us and help us as we pause today. In Jesus' name, amen.
You will never leave.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. We're so glad that you made it. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, go to vineyardln.com, and we'll see you next time.